I won't be reading a particular scripture this morning, but I will be sharing some of the scripture story in my message this morning. Several years ago, this community of Okotoks United Church took a huge leap of faith. They made a big decision and decided to go from a heritage building in downtown Okotoks that had stood for decades to buy the Ginger Tea Room and build onto it to create a new space for worship, mission, and outreach, with the potential to expand all three. It was such a courageous and bold decision for leaders and those in the church at the time. Many people disagreed, and some left the church. Others supported it and got on board, while others just took a wait-and-see attitude. As I've been around town for these many years now, I've heard many stories since then. In fact, one of the first people I met in town told me that they had once been a member of the United Church, but had left when the community decided to move to the current site in Okotoks. They just didn't seem to be prepared to give up what was or had been in order to move toward the new. This community, however, was determined and resilient and was able to transition into the new building we now occupy. Strangely, now, almost 10 years exactly after moving into that new building, it has been over a year since we have all worshiped together in that building. Who would have thought that we, in fact, most of the world, would be worshiping from their own homes? It was not something that the community of 2 years ago could have foreseen, let alone 15 years ago when the decision to move was made. We don't have a window into the future. However, we have no choice but to move toward it. We are now at the point of thinking about transitioning back into a more open world and the possibilities that brings. With this week's provincial announcements about reopening, the lifting of all restrictions potentially happening as early as the end of this month, and the vaccine rollout moving along, we're looking forward to once again living in a world where we are freer to do the things we want to do. Which means we're also faced with making decisions about how we want to do things in our lives, in our communities, and in our churches. This week, I listened to someone say that they were excited and terrified at the same time about what is going to happen when we are free to move about and meet as we want. What will work look like? What will family gatherings look like? What will school and church and social events look like? What will we want to do, and what will we want to leave behind? Transitioning is not easy. There are always bumps in the road when moving from one way of being to another. So over the next few weeks, I want to look at the theme of transitioning. What does it look like to be in a time of transition, and how will we navigate the many transitions we will be faced with as we move forward, and occasionally backwards and sideways? How can we plan productively and wisely, making the best of new opportunities, deciding what to keep and what to let go of in our personal lives, our public lives, school, work, social settings, and in the church? At the end of the month, on June 27th, Matthew Heising, the student minister at the United Church in the Valley, in Turner Valley, will be ordained at his home church, First United Church in Fort Saskatchewan, Alberta. At that small service of 10 people at this point, I have had the privilege of being invited to the service to lay on hands as Matthew is ordained. We're going to share a link to that live service so everyone can watch that service on the 27th, all three communities of faith. Then, as many of you know, on August 1st, the Okotoks-DeWinton Pastoral Charge will enter into a Memorandum of Understanding or a partnership with Diamond Valley Pastoral Charge to create a new partnership between the three communities of faith, sharing two ministers, myself and Matthew. Now at that time, inevitably, things will change. Worship and programs will look different. As many of you read in the newsletter this past week, Candace will no longer be coordinating or leading the kids and youth ministry program. We will be looking at different ways of meeting the needs of our kids and youth in the fall, evaluating how we can best serve our community of faith and our young people in a changing world and secular culture that doesn't prioritize organized religion or Sundays anymore. In some ways, this past 14, 15 months has wiped the slate clean, and we get to try out some new things when we do go back. For some, there is apprehension about what things are going to look like as we transition back into the world. For others, there is a sense of curiosity and excitement about the possibilities. Over the next 3 weeks, I want to explore this theme through the story of the people of Israel returning to the promised land of Israel after over 400 years of slavery in Egypt and 40 years of wandering in the desert of Sinai. I didn't read that story today. It's quite long. So here's a quick paraphrase of the story. The Hebrew people, as they were originally called and eventually became the Israelites and then the Jewish people, started as a small tribe of people related to the patriarch Abraham. Eventually, through various circumstances related to a famine and Joseph, yes, the Joseph of the colored coat, and trickery and reunion, the Hebrews eventually find themselves enslaved to the mighty Egyptian Empire. There they experience some really adverse conditions and cruel masters, and yet the Hebrew people multiply and thrive in Egypt. Eventually, however, after centuries of slavery, things become untenable for the Hebrew people in Egypt, and God raises up Moses, his brother Aaron, and sister Miriam to free the Hebrews from slavery and lead them back to the promised land of Israel. After a series of plagues and miracles and magic tricks and a whole lot of yelling between Moses, Aaron, and the Pharaoh, and not probably a little cursing and swearing, that's my paraphrase, and some divine intervention, Pharaoh agrees to let the people go. However, as they make their move to get out of town, Pharaoh changes his mind, rallies an army, and pursues the fleeing Hebrews. There are not a few tense moments as the people look back at the pursuing army and the large body of water in front of them. They quake and moan and cry as they wait for the sea to part and let them cross safely to the other side, which eventually happens. We won't go into the details of what happens to the pursuing Egyptians. That's rather gruesome. But you can read the whole story in the book of Exodus, chapters 1 to 20. It's really a very fascinating story. In this story, what we generally focus on is the more dramatic story of the plagues and the escape from Egypt, which is a really neat story to tell and to read. What we don't often pay attention to is the 40 years of transition time between Egypt and Israel. A journey that would normally take a matter of months, even in that day with a large tribe of people, takes instead 40 years. 40 years of wandering through the desert to prepare for a totally new experience. Thank goodness we're not going to go through this for 40 years. God willing. So God led the people with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night and provided them for all that they needed. For 40 years, they ate manna from God with just a bit of meat thrown in once in a while. Many, perhaps most of the people grumbled and complained. They disobeyed God, worshipped a golden calf at one point. They were issued the Ten Commandments along with an astounding number of other rules and regulations. During that time, they built a traveling tent for worship, appointed leaders of tribes, and prepared to enter a land that they knew nothing about. At times, they said it would be better to be back in slavery with the familiar, rather than go through the experience of moving toward something new, something they didn't understand. There were, of course, others who embraced the move, got on board, who became the wise elders and appointed support for Moses and looked toward their new future with anticipation. Periods of transition are opportunities to prepare us for something unexpected and new. They allow us to think through what is coming and get our heads and hearts in the right place to welcome whatever is ahead. Of course, we can choose not to do that work and just fumble our way into whatever happens, trusting that other people are doing the work. Or we can prepare and participate in the planning and make that something new worth considering and engaging. So the question I want to start with today is, when we enter into this new land, this new period, whenever or whatever it might be, will we enter with grumbling or with grace? Let's assume that it's a given that things will be different. Some things we probably won't appreciate or like. It won't feel the same or even safe for a while. So that's a given. We have a choice to make before that time comes. We have to decide as we move closer and closer to that time how we will greet the new world, the new land that we're going to. We can go on autopilot and simply respond to change as we always do, or we can start to prepare ourselves for what's coming, which often has the better outcome. We can determine to look at the future with curiosity, with anticipation and grace, as if it's a gift. Grace is a gift. We can keep an open mind. We can even participate in what is emerging, creating something better, something worthwhile. Being positive about the future, about what's coming, doesn't mean that we can't ask questions or challenge the way things are working. It simply means that we are going to make an effort to try and be positive, encouraging, and curious. Yeah, we can grumble. A lot of people will. That seems to be the human default when they don't like something. And that is what the majority of the Hebrew people did. Then there are those who said, "Let's forge ahead. God has promised us something amazing." Now, the transition wasn't easy for either group. Transitioning is hard work. But we do have the choice as to how we move toward the future, with grumbling or with grace. I really loved this quote I found this week and put at the top of your order of service. If you look back, it says, "In the space between chaos and shape, there was another chance." This is written by Jeanette Winterson in a book called The World and Other Places and Stories. She says, "In the space between chaos and shape, there was another chance." We have a chance right now. Think about it. We have the ability to choose. It is one of the greatest gifts to us as humans to have options, to make choices. Between the chaos that we've experienced through this time and the shape of what is to come, we have this opportunity. Grumbling is easy. Grace takes work. We will need God to lead us into this brave new world. It is coming, though. Let's be prepared.